The Fan on Demand. The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. This is Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Welcome, another edition, Hockey Central at Noon. Gord Stellick in once again, Darren Millard, part of our MasterCard Memorial Cup team. Of course, that's coming down to an exciting conclusion over the next few days. All that action on Sportsnet. Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, you're listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, watching on Sportsnet. And of course, NHL playoff action continues. Mike Babcock will join us in a few minutes' time. We'll talk about his Red Wings taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. They'll do battle tomorrow night. I know, Doug, you're loving it. Not loving it, but just Johnny Torts, last night's game, the Boston Bruins prowess, the New York Rangers ineptness or impotence, whatever you want to call it, and a coach that is rubbing a lot of people the wrong ways.
Well, it's just amazing when you look at that team that they cannot generate. I mean, Rick Nash had, what, 3 or 4 chances? Should have scored, didn't. And other than that, I mean, did they really create? Tuukka Rask made 3 or 4 big saves. They battle all over the ice. They block shots. They collapse. They do everything except create offense. And it's just mind-boggling that they get a performance like that from Lundqvist last night, and it's wasted. It's wasted. And the fourth line of the Boston Bruins beat them. Fourth line dominated those late shifts and scored the 2 goals. Johnny Boychuk with his 4th. I mean, what a story Johnny Boychuk has been as a player for the Boston Bruins, from, you know, getting the slap shot off the ankle to face first in the boards. And we talked to Picciarelli the other day about what a valuable guy he is, and gets his 4th. But look, the fourth line dominates the Rangers, beats the Rangers. Tortorella shortens his bench to the point where I don't know if they've got the energy to play with the Bruins. And it's a disaster right now for the Rangers. And they come back from and win a 7-game series against Washington. But this is, they got to take some serious looks at this hockey team, boy. Brad Richards, what did he play, 9 minutes last night?
Well, he was on the fourth line. He was a minus one.
He played one and a half minutes in the third period. This is your $12 million guy that people tell me he's lost a step. Like, Brad, I watched Brad skate last. He's not skating any different than he did 4 years ago. I mean, there's something wrong here that this guy can't play. And this is bizarre to me. But anyway.
Is he and others of the offensive ilk a victim of a system?
Well, you've got to start asking some questions about it. You know, I mean, does some of these guys just not fit into this system? I don't know. Whatever the system is.
But he won with Tortorella before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But he also had LeCavier and Martin St. Louis and Javi Bulin and Dave Andrechuk and Timmy Taylor. I mean, it was a pretty good group of core. Danny Boyle in his prime. Pretty good team. But if anybody tells me that the Tampa Bay Lightning are played the same way as the New York Rangers are playing. And I know personnel dictates that. I understand all that. But, boy, oh, boy, it just is amazing how they can't generate. And haven't been able to generate all year.
No, and 21 goals in 10 playoff games. And if you've got to win 1-0, I mean, that's a ridiculous order for the goaltender who stood on his head again last night. And, you know, to Doug's point of the Rangers having the short in their bench, it gets that much tougher because Boston doesn't have to and can roll those four lines. And as you mentioned, you get, you know, Paille scores the big goal last night.
We'll talk about, of course, the action last night. Got a Pittsburgh-Ottawa game to preview tonight as well. But, of course, the Chicago Blackhawks and Detroit Red Wings do battle once again tomorrow. Mike Babcock, head coach of the Red Wings, joining us on Hockey Central. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing real good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Yeah, I appreciate you joining us. I'm just wondering, the extra day off, I mean, are you a big fan of it at this time or not in the playoffs, depending if your team's going well or not?
I'll tell you what, I was a big fan of it when we had just finished the Anaheim series. We really needed an extra day off. Now that we're going, I wish we just played every other day. I like that the best because I don't like to practice. I just like to pregame skate and keep going. But, you know, it is what it is. And as you know, like as a guy living in the U.S., there's way more hockey on TV than there ever was. This NBC thing seems to be working good, and so people down here can watch it, and they get to watch all the series by doing it the way they're doing it. So I guess that's a positive thing.
You know, Mike, it's interesting to watch. We talked to Kenny midway through the season when things were, you know, not going the best. Ninth place, 10th place. I don't know if you ever got the 10th, but ninth certainly. And he kept saying, you know, when we get healthy, we want to really evaluate our team and see where we are. And then all of a sudden you watch this team play and you forget about Datsyuk and Zetterberg because they're superstars and just everybody says everything about them and you can't say enough about them. But what about, you think about Brendan Smith, Nyquist, Anderson, Abdicator, Kindle, Erickson, Emerton. These are not big name prospects. These are not blue chip prospects yet. The way they've performed has been, well, it's a credit to you and the whole organization.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're Kenny and you're looking at our group, you know, I'm just looking at a schedule in front of me. We went 3-2-1 in January, 7-6-2 in February, 7-5-2 in March, 7-3-3 in April, and then now the playoffs. I mean, we're just a work in progress. We're in a very good team, and when you have a back end like we did to start the year with no training camp and so much change, you're in trouble. And then, you know, we always thought Darren Helm was a huge part of our hockey club, and we haven't had him 2 years in a row in the playoffs. And it took us a while to find Anderson. We knew he was there. We didn't think he was ready. We tried a bunch of different things. And then when Anderson came in, he kind of gave us stability on three lines. You guys were talking about Boston and their depth. Yep. I'm here to tell you at playoff time, when you have no depth, you can't even coach because the other guy's running your bench because you're in survival mode. So Anderson gave us a real good third opportunity, and then with Corey Emerton now with Miller and Eves, we got a big goal out of them the other night. Our third line got a goal. That's what you need at playoff time. And then on our back end, I mean, our back end's really growing. We got a kid named DeKaiser out of where was he now?
Western Michigan.
And then he played great for us, really got us going. And then the other guys have kind of taken over, but the growth of Kindle had no confidence. He was just one of those guys that took him a long time to adjust to being a pro, and he seemed to have found his confidence. Erickson always played in our five hole, and now he's in our two hole. Smith is a kid just vibrating all the time. He's got so much energy and so much skill. We just had to get him settled down. But, he's played 48 games in the National League, and he's playing out there against Sharp and Kane. So the matchups are hard for those guys, yet they've done a good job. And obviously our leadership with Zetterberg and Datsyuk and Cronwell has been fantastic.
You mentioned the other day, Mike, that this is as much fun you've had coaching in a long while. Is it because of all those new faces and adjusting to life without Lidstrom?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was just talking to Mr. Lindsay, Mr. Pavlich, and we were talking about that. The hardest guy to coach in the National Hockey League is a veteran player who was a star whose skills are dwindling. The easiest guy to coach is an everydayer like Datsyuk and Zetterberg. You don't even know Lidstrom and Cronwell. And the most fun to coach is the kids. They're just full of energy, and they're all over the place, but they don't mind feedback. They're dying to get better. They want you to help them. So when you look at that group, we got a lot of that this year, and so it's a lot of fun to be around. The other thing about it is we try hard. Even when we're bad, we try hard. We don't make a ton of mistakes out of lack of try. We don't execute sometimes, and sometimes we're not going the right direction, but we try.
What about Howard? I mean, the way he's evolved and signs the big contract, and he's been a work in progress, and he's been a guy that you've looked to become the guy. He certainly has become the guy.
Well, when I first arrived here, I don't want to say we didn't need goaltending, but we didn't need the type of goaltending we need now. And so Howie's had to be at another level for us to contend. And, you know, this year, without training camp, I thought it was real hard on goaltenders to be consistent. Howie played good and didn't play as good, and then he really got in a role. The contract didn't make any difference to him. You see all over the league guys sign, and then they disappear for a while. It didn't make any difference in his life. So obviously he's a mature man away from the rink. He's a real leader for us. He's demanding of the guys. He competes every single day in practice. He's always trying to get better. And he's one of those guys who takes responsibility. That's what I really like about him, is when things don't go right, the first guy he's looking at himself. So when you include him in our leadership group with Cromwell, Datsyuk and Zetterberg, it's a pretty solid group. And guys that are everydayers, to me, that's the easiest thing. When you got guys who bring it every day and make the people around them better, you have a way better chance to coach your team.
Mike Babcock, head coach of the Detroit Red Wings, joining us, Hockey Central at noon. And, you know, you're talking about playoffs, and you mentioned depth earlier. If you don't have depth, you're basically screwed as far as the playoffs go. What about, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but getting under the skin of a player. Jonathan Toews seems to be knocked off his game, whatever it may be. Talk about that as coaching your team and opponents in a playoff series, how important these intangibles are to get for you, and how do you prevent them happening the other way around?
Well, I think the big thing here is, and I don't know how, Jonathan Toews is a star and mentally hard and knows how to play, and so I don't put a lot into that. But what I do at playoff time, the thing I like about it so much are those individual matchups. It just comes back to playing road hockey one-on-one in your neighborhood, like a kid, and there's only one puck. That's the reality. That's what the playoffs are about, is there's no space. And you got to be a special kind of competitor to be good. And there's a lot of good players in the league that are good in the regular season and can't play at playoff time. And then there's guys that are just okay and are really good at playoff time. The most competitive people thrive on this. And that's why it's so much fun. That's why Zetterberg's a better player. I mean, he's great during the regular season, but he's better at playoff time just because he's that competitive. And he enjoys that little battle. So it's the game within the game that's going on each and every night. That, to me, is the fun part about it. And it's about wearing the other guy out if you possibly can. And they're trying to wear us out. We're trying to wear them out. And in the end, usually someone gives in, and we just hope it's not us.
Along those lines, Mike, is this as physical a team as you've had? You've often said that your teams have always been team tough, that they know how to separate players from the puck. But it really looks like this team is crashing and banging a lot more.
Well, we're sure trying to. You know, when we had Dallas Drake, the last time we won the Cup, we were very physical. Dallas Drake would play 7 minutes a night, and he'd play five in the first period, and they knew he was there, let me tell you. Guys were getting tattooed all over. And we had guys on that team, McCarty, Downey, we had some guys to look after you. We didn't have that for a while, and now we've got some hungry people, and they're getting out there and getting some skin. And I think that's important, especially when you got a mobile D like Chicago does. If you don't finish the guy, he's jumping past you, and he's in the rush. And they're in the rush enough, even though we're finishing checks. So we got to stay on the high side of the guy, and by finishing your check, that's what you're doing.
They were a team that was tough to forecheck against this year because of the mobility of that back end. Even Duya and Roosevelt seemed to jump on that system, and they were moving the puck real effectively. I understand the contact is critical on your forecheck. Your neutral zone has been strong, causing turnovers against them. But what about the composure post-whistle? Like, it seems that your team is very composed. I saw Cleary the other night. I see, Cronville holding their composure. How critical and how much do you stress of that, whistle to whistle versus after?
Yeah, well, Doug, we talked a ton about that, but especially in your own building. I find it's way easier to keep your composure on the road. But your own building, the crowd's wound up, everyone's going, and sometimes you get over-revved, and that does you no good. You got to be in control. That doesn't mean you're not allowed to have fun. I mean, out there having fun, being greasy, being on top of people, finishing checks, it's way better to be a giver than a receiver. It's way more fun. So you might as well be doing that. And we have some guys who can do it now. You know, the Anderson kid, he's not real physical, but he's 220 pounds. Abdicator's real physical. He's 220 pounds. Being heavy helps. And those kids can skate, and they get there on time. So it's harder on their D.
Personally, your personality, does it change with a different style of team? You look at Paul McLean and his personality in Ottawa. Tortorella has a style. Joel Quenneville seems a little frustrated by the way his team played in the first round, for example. Are you a little bit different handling these guys than the Stanley Cup team and the gold medal team?
Well, you know, people ask me this all the time. I don't spend much time evaluating that, but what I try to do each and every year is with our staff is we try to make sure we're evolving. We try to make sure we're getting better. And, you know, some people say you mellow with age. I don't know about that one bit. But to me, it's just finding a way for your team to play and to coach that group. And that took us 20 games this year just to even find a way for this group to be successful. And then you find a way to deal with people. Tom Rennie's been a real big addition to our staff. People think him as a technical guy, and that's not what Tom's brought here at all. Tom's brought a lot of fun, and he can skate the crap out of the extras, and they don't get mad at him. He knows how to talk to a guy, and they don't seem to get mad at him. He's been around a long time, so when they tell somebody something, they're not saying, okay, what do you know? I think he's helped us that way as well. And then, you know, Bill Peters was here last year, and he's done an unbelievable job of their penalty kill. And he's kind of one of these guys, it wouldn't matter if he was in the oil field or if he was, you know, selling ice somewhere, he could just flat out sell it. So your coaching staff, Jimmy Bedard, so I think makes a real difference. And obviously, that to me in dealing with your guys has got to change from player to player and from year to year because the people are different.
Okay, we're really rubbing it in here today. Grand Rapids kicked the Marlies' ass last night in the last 9 minutes. What is going on with this operation? Toronto can't hold a lead. Is that a strategy or what?
Well, I don't know about that part, but this is what I would tell you is that, you know, if you're me and you're looking at Kenny Holland today, you're pretty proud. You know, our leadership here in Mr. Ilitch, obviously, he treats us great and he's real demanding, and Kenny Holland is the same. And, you know, people could talk about our organization and we're falling off the face of the earth. Well, our minor league team, if you're Kenny Holland, he wakes up today and they're going to the Final Four and your NHL team's in the Stanley Cup Final Eight. They do a lot of good things here, and it starts at the top, and it starts the way Mr. Ilitch treats people and demands excellence out of people, and Kenny Holland's no different, and so they got to be proud guys here today.
Well, you should certainly share that as well. I know you do. You'll be back at it tomorrow. Mike, thanks very much for making time today.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great day now.
Good luck.
Mike Babcock, head coach of the Detroit Red Wings. Yeah, that'll be another storyline. It was only a two-goal lead that the Marlies blew late in last night's game against Grand Rapids. Give them credit for winning that playoff series.
Wow.
We'll talk about Pittsburgh-Ottawa. Bruce Garriott's going to join us. We'll chat about a quick whistle last night. There's always some interesting officiating call or non-call to chat about. It's Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean. You're listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and watching on Sportsnet.
Featherlite is the number one ladder used by the pros, and here's why. Featherlite knows that you depend on your ladder to be safe and to perform properly, whether on the job or at home. So they constantly strive to improve the utility and safety of their ladders, not only to meet but exceed industry standards. Featherlite has been building trust into every ladder it makes for over 60 years. No wonder the pros recommend them. The pros know, and Canadian pros pick Featherlite ladders. Safer, tougher, Canadian since 1949.
Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back. Second period, Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean with you on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, watching on Sportsnet. Of course, getting set, the Memorial Cup action, MasterCard Memorial Cup continuing here on Sportsnet, but NHL playoff action. We chatted about the action last night. Let's talk about the big game tonight. Pittsburgh Penguins taking on the Ottawa Senators. Bruce Garriott from the Ottawa Sun joining us. How you doing, Bruce?
Oh, is he joining us? Oh, I didn't know this.
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
This is a surprise.
See, Doug, this thing called a lineup here in second period right there, underlined. Bruce Garriott, Ottawa Sun.
I didn't believe we'd be able to get him.
I know. I mean, he's hard.
So busy.
I can't believe I'm following Mike Babcock.
What? Yeah.
Now, how about
a distant second, I might add.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So against the Montreal Canadiens, you had that great comeback, one game down, two goals. Happens again when you least expect it against the Pittsburgh Penguins. How do you go about in Ottawa trying to capture magic in a bottle a second time?
Well, I think that what they'd better do is stay on an even keel here. I think that one of the things they have to do tonight is play better. And I don't think they played very well for a lot of that game. The Pittsburgh Penguins fired 49 shots on Craig Anderson. I thought that Anderson did an excellent job. And I think that, you know, it really looked pretty bad with 30 seconds to go and they're down by a man. But the one thing that this team has done all year, which has not surprised me because I've seen it from them in the last little while, is they found a way. And obviously, it comes down to two things tonight. This either can become a series, or it can be the Penguins going home looking in pretty good shape. So there's a lot that can happen here in a very short period of time. And one of the one thing this morning was, as Danny Pavan said yesterday, Mark Stone is going in for Corey Conacher tonight.
Yeah, that's an interesting switch, but by the same token, you get a little break here, and when you consider the Spezza, Carlson, Mikhailik, Cowan, the injuries this team's had, the amount that Anderson's, the amount of work he's had to face, this break has got to be nothing but a positive for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, and I think especially for the older guys like Alfredson, and even Spezza was saying today, Doug, that that he really needed this 2-day break after coming back, right, just to make sure that his back was okay, and just to, you know, just to make sure that everything was all right. I think that Craig Anderson also needed this break after making 49 saves, but the Penguins got the same break, right? And
it's been tough on you, because you've been writing like nonstop good stuff. I haven't read any of it, but I've heard rumors that it's been really good stuff coming out of 5 pages of hockey coming out of the Sun in Ottawa.
Yeah, which would be a first, right, Doug?
No, but I'm just saying, I haven't had a chance to read it all, but I want to get through it eventually before the game, and I just so I have my background stuff from
your... busy cleaning your house?
You're cleaning your apartment.
Anyway, this will be... Tonight will be... obviously, it'll be interesting to see, because people see... It's funny how momentum swings in a series, and one of the things that Chris Phillips said yesterday was, you better stay on an even keel. And we all know that the Pittsburgh Penguins have been here before. If anybody thinks the Pittsburgh Penguins are in panic mode, they aren't.
How much of an influence did Spezza have in that game, even coming off the long layoff?
Well, I think that everybody's excited he was back, Scotty. One of the things I do think was... And I know that they're putting Mark Stone into play with him and Mahalik tonight. One of the things I'd like to see, and one of the things I was thinking about going into that third period against the Penguins when it was, you know, 1-0 on Game 3, I'm thinking, you know, maybe they need to reunite Spezza with Mahalik and Alfredson, because that's a combination that's worked for them. And I will guarantee you that while they're putting Mark Stone in, and Paul McClain was saying that, you know, there's some chemistry between Mark Stone and Jason Spezza, I think there's better chemistry with Daniel Alfredson and Milan Mahalik. And I'll guarantee you, before this series is over, one way or another, we're going to see that line.
So you say there's no panic in Pittsburgh. They're composed. They're everything. But when they sit back and look at the rebounds that Vakun let out in that particular game, especially the win, I mean, really dreadful rebounds in the last two games, how long... If Ottawa win this game, where do they go with goaltending? Well, is there any thought that Fleury will... I mean, obviously, Vakun goes tonight, but then where do they go?
Well, they lost 2-1, so there's really been no discussion, and they've been...
Start it, Bruce. You got to start some controversy, man.
Just give me 24 hours. Then one of the things that... one of the things, they've been very protective of their goaltending, and I don't think that Ottawa respects their goaltending much, to be honest. I don't think that Ottawa... thinks much of Vakun. They've basically said that, like you, Doug, they feel like they can fire pucks in his feet, and they'll have a pretty good chance at beating him, because that was how they scored that bad goal in I think it was Game 1, and it was pretty clear to me that the game plan now is just to fire as many pucks at this guy as you can and see where it gets you, because they are right now shooting from anywhere. And one of the things I'm like you, if they happen to lose tonight 4 or 5-1, well, then what do they do? Then they got to go back to Fleury, and where is Fleury's confidence at right now?
Yeah, you know, it's not even just going back to Fleury. Obviously, the Pittsburgh Penguins will remain a confident team, but, you know, Bruce, you look at last year when they became unraveled in a different way against Philadelphia, and now I use that line about having house money. It's like the Leafs up till 8 minutes left in that game against Boston.
And the Marlies were making
good use of it, and really it was coming into play. I would think that if you won this game, whether you win it 2-1 or 8-1, that you're in their head. I really think, I mean, you get a sense that way, that all of a sudden that being the underdog and not having the same kind of pressure could be a major factor.
Yeah, the only thing is everybody thought that the New York Islanders were in the Pittsburgh Penguins' heads, and what did they do? They ended up closing out that series in 6. I think with all that talent, it's going to be tough to get in their heads. And the other thing that the officiating in this series has been questionable, to say the least. But
this series, talk to Daryl Sutter today.
Oh no, I saw that last night. I mean, I was going to say, though, you know, the Senators can't keep handing the Penguins 6 power play opportunities every game either.
Well, it's going to be real interesting to see. Now, I have a quick question, and it's real important stuff. On August 26th to 28th in Summerside, the Ottawa Senators coaching staff is putting on the HockeyAtlanticCoachesClinic.com, and Luke Richardson's going to be there. It's going to be a great weekend for coaches. Would you be attending that coaching symposium in Summerside this summer?
Did you want me to come down and drink with you?
Well, no, but I thought it would be good to Darren Millard's going to be a host. I'm going to be involved. I thought it would be just a great weekend where we could reunite over the summer.
Oh, let's plan it now then.
Wife would come as well.
Oh, good. Sounds fun.
Okay, but anyway,
it's you get to stay at the estate.
I just wanted to get that out there. Hockey well, Atlantic no, Coaches just, Clinic with okay. the Ottawa Senators coaching staff.
I'm we so knew it was going somewhere.
I know. So
I would guess that what you want me to do is write something on it too, right?
Yes, in your Sunday column, I'll get that information.
Doug doesn't read.
Let's just cut to the chase,
and we can mention it on air. So where do you check it out, Doug? Besides flagging you down in
just,
Yorkville,
just Hockey Atlantic Coaches Clinic.com.
You couldn't get a smaller or more concise.
Well,
that's it. Hockey Atlantic.
Yeah.
Give me that again.
Hockey Atlantic Coaches Clinic.com.
I think you're going to have three people there.
No, it's selling out fast.
It's selling out fast.
Getting back to the series, Bruce, it sounds like you're thinking
that. Scott, do you have something going on?
That eventually Pittsburgh's depth of talent will prevail?
I kind of feel like it. Look, tonight is the pivotal one here. They
Sydney.
Have so much depth. I mean, if Malkin had 10 shots on net the other night, is he going to keep shooting at Craig Anderson's chest? I don't know. Mark Mathot did an outstanding job on Sidney Crosby in the last game, but Crosby had a hat trick in game two. They have so much depth. I think the big question marks, obviously, about the Pittsburgh Penguins are their defense and their goaltending. And if Ottawa can win tonight, they can arrive in the Pittsburgh Penguins' heads. I just don't know if they can get anywhere else.
They just
seem to have a lot of talent.
They didn't forecheck in game one, and they've started to. And that you hit the nail on the head. Is their defense we've questioned it for a month. Is it a Stanley Cup defense? There's no doubt Sidney's the man, and Malkin and Kunitz and Neal and all the firepower. But this back end, Orpik's lost a step. Niskanen is not a big guy. I mean, there's some inexperience back there. I tell you, I think with the big bodies of Ottawa, if they keep pounding them, they can have some success. But how do you ever underestimate Sidney Crosby?
Yeah. Well, we will, of course, find out tonight, game number 4 in that series. Bruce, is there a website for the Ottawa Sun if people want to subscribe? Because Doug mentioned the five pages you're churning out every...
No, it's actually AtlanticHockeyCoaches.com.
Okay.
Listen.
Bruce Garriock will be featured speaker there August 26th to the 28th.
I've helped you with your column a lot. I just continue to do it.
All right. See you guys. Have a good one.
Boy, when's the Nobel Peace Awards coming up? We'll have to check on that, see if Doug's name is there. Bruce Garriock joining us from the Ottawa Sun. We will come back. Third period, we'll get to chat ourselves. We'll talk about that quick whistle. The officiating every year, whether it's something we forget the previous year. This year certainly seems to be very much in the forefront. Talk about the action that went on last night. You're listening to Hockey Central at Noon. Gord Stelick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean on Sportsnet 590 The Fan or watching on Sportsnet.
Now more Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back. Third period of Hockey Central at Noon. Gord Stelick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and watching on Sportsnet. So we chatted about a little bit about the games last night. We talked earlier, Mike Babcock previewing his team. They play tomorrow night, Detroit against Chicago. Bruce Garriock about the Ottawa-Pittsburgh game tonight. San Jose-Los Angeles. Some people see the series. Some people can't stay up, but you're missing some great hockey and arguably two teams that are strong contenders for the Stanley Cup. And Doug, we were chatting about, as we watched the games last night, like the Shaw interference, the goalie interference in Chicago, the previous game that wasn't. It seems like there's a call like this every night. And last night it was a quick whistle by referee Brad Meyer that cost the LA Kings a goal.
Well, yeah. And it's so critical in these games with the such low scoring games and swings of momentum. And we are seeing it. And it was a tough call last night. Penner was right there to tap it in. It was a quick whistle, no doubt about it. You wonder why it's quick sometimes, why it isn't. It's human nature. I mean, it happens. It's unfortunate. But I'll tell you what, it was a big part of that game last night. And in a game where San Jose dominated the first period, 14-3 the shots, where LA never got out of their own end in the first period, And then in the second half of the game, L.A. took charge and dominated. In the third period, they dominated, and San Jose held on and held on in the third period. You can't say enough about Couture. Again, he scores last night. He gains the zone on the entry. He drives the net. They get the Boyle gets the puck through, and he's there for it to go in off his knee. But he's there. He's become a heck of a player. I remember talking about Soshi, and I didn't have him on my team. And I've had hockey people saying, "Doug, you gotta see this Couture kid more, because you know people have had Hall on there and Eberle on there, and Couture was a question mark." Well, I'll tell you what, he's not a question mark anymore. We've said it many times. This is his team. And Joe Thornton is playing better because of it. Marlowe is playing better because of it. Think of a line. If somebody would have told you going into this year that the first line or a good line on San Jose at playoff time would be Thornton, Gallardi, and Brent Burns, that would be a line. And it's their most – it's one other than Couture's line with Marlowe and whoever, it's their most important line. It's hard to believe. Gallardi and Brent Burns, who's a defenseman.
Yeah. Couture has been great. He's the present and the future.
Yeah.
We've talked about that passing of the torch, if you will. But I'll tell you what, Joe Thornton is still pretty darn good. He
darn
is
right.
Playing terrific.
Now, the other thing, Scott, is we saw it, if you're watching on Sportsnet a little bit a while ago, talk about a quick whistle. Boy, he didn't have it. As you see it again, you go, boy, there. Anyway.
You can't video review that.
No, understood.
The goalie interference the other night, that's a different scenario. This one, the whistle's the whistle. I mean, the one that we talked about at off-air is you've got the other scenario where referees have said, I meant to blow it down when pucks have gone in. You know, so it works both ways.
Well, are we having, is this the regular officiating controversies that go part and parcel with playoff hockey, or are we having more than usual?
I think it's part and parcel.
Okay.
I think we have it. They're much more under the...
So it's like
microscope.
This every year. So it's like
I
this
think
every
it
year.
Is. I think we talk about it all the time. It's tough hockey to referee this time of year, guys. It really is. There's so much more action at the net. There's so much more pressure on plays. There's so much more happening on the ice. I think it's the same every year. And I think that coaches have got to, they've got to be able to keep their composure and handle it. We talked to Babcock. When's the last time you saw Mike Babcock lose his composure on a referee? We saw Tortorella the other night snap after the second period. We've seen Daryl Sutter does a good job of handling. He gets upset.
Shakes that head a lot.
Todd McClellan, I think the good coaches say, hey, they live with it, and they understand it's part of the – and nobody likes it.
You don't want it to become a crutch for your players.
But you can't let it affect your team. And I'll tell you what, when coaches let it affect their team – It takes away from the – it's an excuse.
Well, isn't it a sign of a champion that you overcome injuries, which are an excuse? So you overcome officiating.
Adversity.
And look at Chera last night smiling with blood dripping down, and they didn't make a big deal about it. They just went out and won the game.
Claude Julien never – you shake your head and you move on. And it's not easy to do. But I'll tell you what, composure is awful important this time of year. And we can sit here and say what you want about the referees. It's – damn tough hockey to referee.
Sure. And not to get in the guy's head last night, but to Doug's point, there's so much scrumming around the goal.
Totally.
The goalies are getting beaten up so often that when he loses that puck, the instinct is let's get this thing blown and get control of the situation. So it's a tough one, but mistakes happen.
Yeah, and it goes back to that Ryan Miller play the year before last, and there was a general manager's meeting, and I can see the officials saying, everyone's in my face and on my ass about protecting the goaltenders. That became a watershed moment that they kind of said, oh, we like the rules, but we don't want our goaltenders hurt. So in the Shaw scenario of Chicago, you can argue that's what he was doing. And here you could argue the quick whistle was, goalie seems to have it. I want to keep all the garbage away.
And the good coaches, when they go back and look at the video after the game, they will always point to many other things that cost them the game versus that. It was a critical point, but the good guys will just let it go.
One thing we chatted about yesterday, and have we heard any more about Patrick Waugh? Is it just sort of...
His brother's having a press conference this afternoon,
on Facebook.
So he's going to make
an announcement. The sense is that there's been conversation, but how far along that process is.
Yes. Talking to our Colorado Avalanche insider here at Sportsnet as well, their feeling is that it's a story that has some legs. But we were kicking around, and I think we chatted that Larry Bird's a great example. He did it in the NBA. And the peril or what it would take about a superstar NHL player having success – as a head coach. And in Wayne Gretzky's case, I looked at it that I'd like to have seen him in a good situation. He had a good situation with Team Canada.
Right.
In Phoenix, it was a money thing. That press conference was absurd. They just threw everything that we landed Wayne Gretzky. They thought the coach would sell tickets. He didn't. He never had a chance.
Patrick went back and coached 8 years of major junior hockey. Like Wayne is unique by himself because
right.
he's, if not the greatest, he's and a great person. But Patrick went back and coached major junior for 8 years. Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne, you know, does it matter? Some guys can step in and do it. Some can't. I don't know if there's a magic formula. Is there ever a magic formula to coaching? I don't think there is. And
You're saying there is. You have to have some experience.
Well, I think experience
compared to other spots in the front office.
I think experience is important. I don't have any doubt it's important as you move along. There's no doubt it's important. But, you know, it's a tough job, and it's becoming tougher all the time. And the more experience you have, the more things you've been through. Look at Daryl Sutter as a coach now compared to 7-8 years ago. Look at Babcock compared to 8-10 years ago. I mean, these guys are...
They have to evolve.
They, you know, yeah. So I don't think there's anything that makes up for experience, but I don't know if we have time, but the Memorial Cup, London Knights last night, the Halifax Mooseheads.
To answer your question, we do have time.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yes.
I'm shocked was Kipper golfing today or what? We couldn't get him on?
No, he was busy trying to get Max Domi's draft back to where he said yesterday before they played the game, and we're down 9-0 after 5 minutes.
Like, so
I was just going to say a quick thought on Patrick Waugh before we go on to the Memorial Cup. Is Bob Hartley was quoted in the Calgary papers today as talking about, he said, you know, Patrick as a player was a guy who had an attention to detail, that studied the game. And, you know, a lot of superstars just can go out and play, and they play with that great instinct and skill. But as great as he was also a guy that worked hard at the game. And then obviously the experience that Doug's talked about of working as a coach in junior hockey.
And just a side note, Bob Hartley's son is an assistant coach with the Halifax Mooseheads.
Well, and
we're back to the Memorial Cup.
Yeah,
and
there we go. I tried to bring him back.
No, you didn't. That was accidental.
Darren Millard refers segue. That to as a segue.
Does
yeah.
he? Does yeah. he? Well, okay, we'll segue.
He called it a segu, but.
Well, the Memorial Cup last night, it was.
Seriously.
Wow. That was.
Those games just happened, did they?
Yeah. It just
that's junior hockey.
Like, what was it, 100-0 at the end? It's one of those we didn't. And then actually when they got a goal or two, came back. Yeah. In some ways, though, in a tournament like this, and we've been through it in the Olympics and what have you, that you're better to have a consistent good games rather than five great games and one clunker. Because, have the clunker at the right time. If you have the clunker at the wrong time, like Team Canada did against Team USA in the World Juniors, you're out. So get it out of your system.
And Martin Frick gets the hat trick last night, FRK.
Yeah.
And interesting, we had Babcock on. We talked Detroit. He is a draft choice of the Detroit Red Wings. I had some people tweet me on that, so didn't realize it last night, but he is a draft pick of Detroit. And again, he had a heck of a game. But the Halifax Mooseheads are legitimate contenders. I mean, they have looked pretty good in this tournament. But who could ever pick? You've got Portland, supposed to be a good team. They finally had a great win the other night. Halifax, good, off, and then good. London, good, I mean, and bad. I mean, how could you pick a winner? Saskatoon, we'll see them tonight, I guess, right? Saskatoon and Portland tonight is the tilt, I believe. So it's I love it because you've got great action, lots of mistakes.
It's unpredictable.
It's not like watching an NHL Stanley Cup game where it's tight checking and everything. There's calculated moves all over the ice, and you're closing guys out. You're forechecking. These guys go for it, and it's great hockey to watch.
Well, it's an element of March Madness, except that you're not done at that particular thing if you lose one game that way. So we also
Nathan McKinnon, 3 assists.
Yep.
We got somebody on the line. Oh, okay. Just tell me off. I know 55-20. I've been here like 6 days now. I thought you had Nathan McKinnon on the line or something.
Somebody
like that.
Said to me that this
morning. I got
morning,
these dumb headsets on now. You guys look so good.
Somebody was telling me you're more of an analyst than you're a host now. You've sort of evolved
who
from
who's
the,
telling you that?
I don't know. Somebody mentioned that to me this morning.
He plays an analyst on TV and a host on radio. How's that?
Well, I'm doing a little bit of both right now. How about that?
Might have been John Shannon. I always go to him for my TV radio advice.
Well, I told you. We were out last night. We grabbed a bite. So I just got you guys mixed up with our difference. stories. At the end of the day, I was crediting some to you that Shannon told me and some the other way around.
So, and I'm quick to correct you on that.
Yes. Well, they wear glasses. It's always getting confused.
Similar glasses.
But the other part of the Memorial Cup, if you get best four out of sevens, like anything, and same in college basketball, you could predict pretty about 90% by and large who's going to get it. But when you come down to a one-game Super Bowl, and you know that's the way it's going to be, I love that wild card element.
And think of like Schwenningen. Hadn't played in 70 days last year, and home ice advantage. You've got Saskatoon, who had some great runs in the Western.
51 days between games.
51 days, and have had a couple of great runs in the Western Hockey League. I talked to a couple of people that are a little nervous because they're a big, tough team, and they're scaring some people. So tonight is a real test for Portland and Saskatoon, who comes out of that one.
Pittsburgh-Ottawa, let's get back. We chatted with Bruce Gerriak a bit about it. Doug, for the Pittsburgh Penguins to, say, bounce back or get that 1 minute behind them, and for the Ottawa Senators to turn the heat up a notch or two, what are going to be the keys tonight?
Well, they've got to protect their goalie. They've got to, like, look, Niemi won a Stanley Cup in Chicago, giving out 15-foot rebounds on every shot.
Because you're talking Pittsburgh.
And they're going to have to protect Vakun. I know Niskanen, as we said, Niskanen and this group, Letang, they're not big guys. They're skilled. They're not big guys. Eaton has lost a bit of a step. Orpik's lost a bit of a step. I think Ottawa just cram the net, go for the net. As Bruce said, everything at Vakun and see where it comes out. Because Sidney and Malkin can beat you alone, and Neil. They can beat you, and Kunitz.
As we said before, goaltending has to be a headline.
It will not be another 2-1 game, I guarantee you that. And that's scary for Ottawa.
I'm trying to remember, because there's an extra day. You know, the days off, how much we talk so much about Spezza. I'm trying to remember Carlson's play last game. Better because he was a storyline for getting fewer minutes and that. So it seems like every
game
time.
Before.
Yeah, but the more time off, the better he comes back. And even a couple of days for a guy like Jason Spezza.
And Anderson. Let's put everything aside we've talked about. Everything about Spezza, everything about Carlson, everything about Vakun. Anderson's the story. He's the story for Ottawa. And as he goes, the Sens go.
Well, we'll be back at it tomorrow. We'll talk about the story. You want to sit here and be the host and I'll be the analyst tomorrow?
I don't care. I'm just here to get a buck and that's all. The rest is just history
for
me.
We'll get you a drive over to the score, okay? We'll get that done.
Just got to get the mop and pail out.
That's right. Clean up the condo. Someone's coming to town. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison.
Santa Claus is coming.
Doug McClay with you. You've been listening to Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and watching on Rogers Sportsnet. Enjoy the hockey. Don't forget the MasterCard Memorial Cup tonight on Sportsnet.
Want that win? Today is Toronto Blue Jays game day on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.